nice to see the Dillmans back with us. Welcome from Florida. Our lesson this morning is going to be a study on the gates of hell. The gates of hell. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, there is a group of verses that over the years have created much argument between Protestants and Catholics about the meaning and the application of the words, the gates of hell. This morning we will be looking at these verses in an effort to sort out the truth of these verses, because it does not, nor can it, say two different things. It is the inspired Word of God, and it is our charge to study them for a better understanding of Him. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in that 16th chapter at verse 13. It reads, "When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" And then we'll end at verse 19 for now. You know, the disciples had been with the Savior for a couple of years by this time. And I'm thinking that it must have been pretty discouraging to the Lord that here they were with him for a couple of years and they did not know who he was. Except for Peter. All of the disciples had one thing in common, their answer, and that was they were all wrong. However, at least Peter knew. And I asked the question, how did he know when the others didn't seem to know? Well, the answer, of course, was back there in the 17th verse. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven hath revealed to him who the Lord really was." Peter was a true believer. He wanted to know. And this is pretty much the same situation today. We need to know him. And logic cannot discern spiritual things. Logic, philosophy can't discern spiritual things. As a matter of fact, intellect can't discern spiritual things. Therefore, the natural man being the non-believer, cannot understand spiritual things. We read that in 1 Corinthians 2:14, Let me read, you'll recall the verse. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Intellect, philosophy, logic, educated professors that are educated beyond their own intelligence cannot understand or know who he is. It's spiritually discerned. And it's spiritually discerned by those that seek to know him. It's really our greatest need to know him through this word that he's given to us. Peter knew the answer because he wanted to know. He was searching to know who this Christ was. But there in the 18th verse then, we find a new revelation that hadn't before ever been revealed. Verse 18, here's the new revelation. The Lord says, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. First thing we got to understand is the Lord's words here. What are the gates of hell? Would you know them if you saw them? Oh, yeah, that's the gates of hell right there. Are those gates made to keep people in? Are they made to keep people out? What are the gates of hell? What does he mean by hell? Well, in the King James Bible, there are three Greek words used for the word hell. One is Hades. The second one is Gehenna. And the third one is Tartarus. And today I want to focus on one of these because it's the one that's used in our verse 18, which is Hades. Now, we are sure of this word because it is used 180 years B.C. 180 years B.C. in translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. They used Hades as being equal to the Hebrew word Sheol, S-H-E-O-L. That was, in the day, what would be, how Sheol would be translated. And in the Hebrew Sheol, which means simply the grave. So here in this translation, 180 years B.C., they're saying that Sheol is Hades, or it's the grave. So that gives us an understanding of what this word Hades actually represents back then. The next, I want to look at the word gates. In English, we think of gates as a door or an entrance into something. In the Old Testament, however, the gate was a place of entrance as well. But more importantly, it was a place of judgment. It was a legal place, a place of business, was a place of power, a place of authority. It was, of course, as a gate, it was the weakest point in the city wall. If you controlled the gate, you militarily controlled the city. Examples of this, and I'm not going to have you look these all up, I'll read them to you. In Genesis 19:1, we read, quote, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom as a judge. In Samuel, 2 Samuel 19:8, then King David arose and sat in the gate, And all the people came before him sitting in judgment. You see here, it's a place more than just an entrance. The judge was there. Judgment was made there. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 23 says of the virtuous woman, her husband is known in the gates where he sits among the elders of the land. The gate was a place of authority. Now, when you take that understanding with the word hell, you put hell and gates together, we come up and we begin to see that the gates of hell means the authority of the grave or authority of death. The expression is used throughout Scripture. We find it in Job chapter 38, verse 17, has the gates of death been opened, is the question, the gates of death. Psalms 9, chapter 13, David said, thou liftest me up from the gates of death, the authority of death. Psalms 107, 18, they drew near to the gates of death. Isaiah 38, 9 to 10, Hezekiah, speaking of his sickness, thought that he was going to the gates of the grave, or the authority of the grave. With all this information, then, I, along with others, am satisfied that there is abundant proof of the meaning of the phrase, the gates of hell. But return to that 18th verse that we saw there. Verse 18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For a better understanding of that verse, you've got to take it apart, literally with some of your seventh grade English in mind. In that verse, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does it modify in that verse? Does it modify Peter? Does it modify rock? Does it modify church? What we have to do to take this verse apart is to find a noun for the pronoun it. Now, in English, the pronoun it is singular in number. It refers to one. And neuter in general, in gender. It can refer as one female or one male, whatever the subject matter is, it's equal to both male and female in gender, but it's singular. But when you go to the Greek, it is also singular in number, but it is feminine in the Greek language. So we need to find a feminine noun for it to modify. So we look back in the verse, and we have not one, but we have two to choose from. Rock and church, both are feminine Greek nouns. Now, you say, along with the Catholics, well, what about Peter? I thought Peter was the rock. I'm here to tell you the grammar forbids the choice because Peter comes from the Greek word petros, and it is masculine in gender. It cannot be the antecedent or the noun for it. So, We've got to choose then from those two words that are, according to grammar, equal to it in the feminine case, and that's rock and church. The authority or power of the grave will not prevail against it. Being what? Church? If we pick church, which is a called out assembly of people or a group, therefore it's a body of people like us, for example, we're considered an ecclesia, a church, a group that's chosen for purpose in God's plan. If we pick church, it makes no sense. Why? We do not have authority over the face of death. At least I don't. I don't know, maybe you do, but I don't. However, if we choose rock as our noun, and we know that in Scripture the rock refers to Christ, for example, Psalms 28, we read, "Unto thee, O Lord, will I cry, my rock." In Psalm 62, "He is my rock and my salvation." 1 Corinthians 10:4, "They drank of that rock, and that rock was Christ." 1 Peter 2:8, "Christ was the rock of offense." So it makes perfect sense that this would be the noun, because only he, so far as I know, I think as far as anybody else knows, has the power and authority over the grave or the gates of hell. Resurrection power that separates Christianity from all other religions of the world, the one with the power and the authority over death. He laid his life down and picked it up again under his own power. I think you've heard me say this story before. It's one of my favorite stories, but D.L. Moody was in one of his programs or speaking somewhere, and a young man came up afterwards and said, "Mr. Moody, I don't agree with your brand of religion, and I'm out to going to start my own, and I've got any suggestions that you might have for me starting my own religion." And D.L. said, "Yes, I do, young man." He said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "Why don't you go out and get you a board of directors of 12, and then get yourself crucified and raise yourself from the dead, and that'll be a good start." That's why Christianity still survives today, because Christ, the rock, had authority over the gates of hell. Jesus Christ is the rock. Because the power of death could not prevail over him, he rose victorious over the grave. Death is swallowed up in victory for the believer. He could not have risen from the grave. Death would have overpowered him unless he had the authority. To confirm this explanation, we find in the verses following, verse 21 in that chapter, it reads, "And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." Here, for the first time, he reveals this method of redemption, which involves authority over the gates of hell. Tragic as it sounded, it stunned Peter. They had no earthly idea that this would happen. Who would have thought it? But a church built on such a rock-solid foundation would prevail over death. The security and stability of the church centers in our risen Lord Jesus Christ, because in the rock we find a power that is equal to and capable of love's greatest yearning. What is that? Love's greatest yearning. That is to take someone else's place in death. Many here have conjured up enough courage to do that for maybe a spouse or a sick child. You have the love, but I lack the power. We do not have any authority over the gates of hell. But out of the rock came the most stupendous words, I think, to ever depart the lips of a man. You know what he said? He said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." The rock was either who he said he was, the living, breathing Son of God, or he was the most egotistical person that ever walked the face of the earth. But he demonstrated that power over the gates of hell when he resurrected himself out of the grave. In closing, I would say that one of the oldest questions known to man is found there in the book of Job. Job says, "How can man be just with God?" The rock. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We're thankful that you are mindful of us. We're thankful that you have the power over the gates of hell, and that as a result, we have our salvation in your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the written word whereby we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. We pray for each here that we may continue to be rooted and grounded in your love. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.